This is an ohs.com.au production.
Welcome to episode 62 of the Australian Health and Safety Business Podcast. I'm Brendan Tarazzi, the host of the show, and today I'm joined by Jodie Lowe from Average AF. Now, I was asking, what the hell is Average AF?
Thanks, Matt. Average AF was just a concept of a conversation starter to shock people into having, a conversation about what's written on my shirt.
Yeah.
The concept was that everybody is sort of determined through social media to believe that we have to be more than average. And I'm trying to get people to actually believe that being average at everything, which gives you balance, is a lot harder than what people believe. So, Tiger Woods, for example, the greatest golfer in the world, not such a great husband, still had alcohol problems, by default ends up average AF, because if you don't focus on the balance, you'll come unstuck somewhere along the line. So the conversation starts with average AF. Most people say, oh, you're as average as, and we know what the F sort of stands for. And but when you go into the app, it sort of says that you get to choose. You don't have to be the same as everybody by being average, but you can be average and fun, average and friendly, average and fiery, and average and foxy. So if you were to come and ask me what my AF stands on my shirt, I'll tell you it's average and formidable, because I'm a bit of a bull in a china shop at work. And, that's my wife's. Was average and fiery, but now she's worked her way in her old age back to average and fun. So,
fair enough. So, what sort of I take it you're like, this is a bit of a side hustle for you, or tell us a little bit about Jodie and what you're doing at the moment.
So I grew up on the hard side of the railway track in a small country town in mining town in central Queensland. It's a very long story, but I grew up probably what I consider a third generation bully. And I basically was in fight mode for a lot of my life that I didn't realize till later in the day. We don't talk socially about it. We don't talk enough in family about, family history and problems. So my defense for flight mode, instead of fight mode, it was fight mode. So I just, attacked everything, my entire life. When I get into mining and found a home for my sarcasm and my quick-wittedness, I realized that, all of these problems were going to catch up to me sooner or later, and they did when I went into a management position. So I sort of got to a point where I was, I wouldn't call myself suicidal, but I look at suicide like I look at prostitution. I know that it's an option. I just hope I never got desperate enough to take it up. Mm. So I realized I have four beautiful daughters, and they were getting to a critical point of worrying about me. And I didn't want to pass on the bad family traits, family history. So I dove into it a bit more. Once I started uncovering that sort of stuff, I realized that I needed to do more for my family. So I started documenting my journey back from the dark place just through YouTube videos, and found that it resonated well with a lot of my coworkers. So I turned it into a bit of a safety model for how I train frontline leaders who, a supervisor in mining used to just be the guy that was best at putting bolts up in the roof. Now they've got to be inclusive and diverse. They've got to be educated on, political correctness. They've got to be mentally stable themselves. They've got to handle the mental stability of others. They've got to be on target, under budget, safety, and they're legally liable. So
it's a big, quite a big responsibility, isn't it, to step up to?
Yeah, it is. It's a lot for people to take on, and it's really causing a lot of grief in minds around, mental health. They work a lot of 7/7 rosters away from their families. So all I've basically done is try to use my journey. I'm not a professional at any level. So I just try and use my journey as to let people draw some parallels from it. Yeah. So on site, I work 7/7 or 5/2, depending on what they need. On site, I spend my days teaching uneducated people the best way to get the most out of legislation, to understand how to use the system to get safe and productive results without having to be overruled by the intellectual sort of leadership, the management levels that have these big degrees and fancy names, titles, to keep them in check. I work with multiple teams in the inclusion diversity teams, the mental health teams, to make sure that everybody that anybody could get in trouble for or get pushback around, they understand, so that if they make a decision on site, that's on them. If they are aware of what what it means to be female or Indigenous on a site, and they make a decision that's on them. At least they've had the opportunity. And offsite as a side hustle, I started the Average AF app so there's five principles.
Yeah.
Five principles in what I do: spiritual, physical, intellectual, financial, and emotional. I think of the five pillars of good wellness for people. The one thing that I can say that I'm a professional at is playing sport. And that because I've played every single competition sport there is in Australia at some time during my life. And I noticed that once my body started declining, my mental health started declining, I drank more because of it. I created the app based around all of Australian sports. There's over 130 short version of sports on there that connect community and friends and teams and get people back outside. For you got 1 minute to spare, you can do it. You go to the gym, you can do it. Golf, cricket, football, soccer, whatever it is.
So that's the physical pillar, I take it.
That's right.
And so give me an example of, I don't know, like AFL. You got AFL on there?
Yeah, so there's the banana bender. You've got banana bending kicks. You've got the poster plugger, which is just a straight out front kick. You've got the crumb clearer. They're all, all names that I made up myself. I'm pretty good at the quick-witted bullshit that goes with, Queensland mining. But, yeah. I'm an Aussie by heart. So, you've got all sorts of different – Every single, there's a frisbee competition, there's a mono competition, there's plenty of gym games. What the fundamentals of it was there's apps out there like Strava that are just for people that run all the time. There's rowing apps, there's riding apps. And I said, what about for people like me? Jody is, I literally am the definition of average. I always joke that if you looked it up in the dictionary, you'd find a picture of me in there because I've played probably B grade at every single sport in the world. Never been a success at anything. I'm a good sportsman, but and highly competitive with myself, but just never done anything with it. So I'm like, what about people like me?
So that's sort of the sum of like all these things being average at actually makes you excellent in a way, doesn't it? Like a total all rounder, you can do a little bit of everything, but a master of master of nothing in particular, but a generalist, is it? Would that be fair to say, Jody? Or
yeah, it is, and it all goes back to what social media would have you believe too. That by 50 you still have got to have abs. By 60 you shouldn't have any wrinkles. And if you do 3 days online, you should be a millionaire. A 3 day online course, you should be a millionaire. So everything sort of, when we used to have to look at the Joneses when we were younger, we only sort of looked in our vision to our neighbours. And if Mr. Jones on the right had a new car, we might have to get a new car. And if Bill on the left had a nice lawn, we might have to mow our yard a bit more than we wanted to. But the window of social media now has us seeing the life of 1,000 neighbours a day. And every one of them, just for that one picture, is a picture of them on holiday, on a new car, on doing something fantastic. So it's a constant daily reminder that we're not doing as much as we should be with our life, and we're not where we should be. And and that's the sort of thing that I sort of thought, well, listen, social media is not going away. Let's use it in a more constructive way. That the communication between me and you, for example, we live in different places, Brendan. So, and you might be a golfer, and I might be a darts player. But that doesn't mean we can't compete against each other as friends. So you just have to go in there and pick 10 games that suited to your physical capabilities. It doesn't care what your sex, your gender, your age, your height, your weight. It is the best 10 games that makes you an average sports person, Brendan, versus the best 10 games that I am. And at the end, it calculates a score, and we'll see who's the most average AS when it comes down to the crunch.
That's awesome. So can you? So that's the physical pillar. You mentioned a few others. So we've got the spiritual pillar. Tell us a little bit about what's in that.
Yeah. So the website came off the back of it, and I built it basically as a rewards type program for mining and any sort of business houses. To a lot of them have post-month success, they give you a reward for getting past the month. And they call that a lag indicator. So if you got lucky for the month and we don't really know the result of getting lucky other than we didn't hurt anyone, we'll give you a $50 voucher. So I set up the website. It's called the Wow Factor, so working on wellness factor. So Wow Factor points are things that you achieve every time you do something in the app to get some points. And the points were designed to give you discounts inside of the website for any of the pillars. So spiritually, I'm trying to get I'm trying to build it to get, it's not finished. I'm trying to get people on board to, if you're a yoga instructor, if you're a tarot card reader, if you're any of those things that would like to give, offer discounts to people, they go in, they use that, they get wow points, and they can use that for discounts on your local business. If you're, you know, intellectually, if you're a bookshop, a podcaster, anything that will help people, you know, a training facilitator, that anything that helps people keep growing intellectually, you're the same. You get listed onto the website. Financially, you know, brokers, people that are looking to help, and emotionally, you know, and outlets for, you know, men's and women's clubs, you know, country women's association. It doesn't really matter what you are. It's just where you align yourself. You get listed under that heading. And basically it's just designed to have small business and small communities. You can, if you just focus in on what your small community is and your small group of friends, you can look at yourself in the app, for example, and see how you're going against your 10 friends, or you can go right out to Australia and see how you're going against the rest of the country. But you can be as big or as little, you know, invested into it as you can. But the point was no money. You know what I mean? We've got the Indians that helped me build this app through an Australian company. I often asked them why they weren't going outside and playing it. They loved the idea. They really were invested in it, but they weren't going outside and playing. And I said to them, why aren't you? And he said, Daddy, we don't have what you have in Australia. Like in our farming towns, we just walk roof to roof because even the roadways aren't big enough to drive a car or a cart. There is the only time we can play cricket, say, with our children is if we get up early enough, we can get to the local store. And there's no car parks there at 4 o'clock in the morning. So that's the only place big enough that they could actually hit a cricket ball without, you know, without hitting a wall instantly. So there is no parks, there's no spare land. And that's what, you know, growing up out here where there's every weekend there's 27,000, you know, square meters of green grass park not even getting used anymore. Kids are at home thumbing around. I wanted people to get back to what was true values of Australia. I want people to respect the small businesses in their community. I want people to look after their wellness because if we talk about zero harm at work all the time, and I just don't believe that you can come to work in a mining industry and work a 13-hour shift if you haven't slept well, eaten well prior to it, if you haven't travelled well, if you've got problems at home with your family. So I'm trying to, you know, keep everyone at just a nice balance all the way through because I struggled with that balance. And the more I lost, the thing that I was priding myself on was my, you know, sport and fun. The more I dove into work, and work became my competition, and work then that once that toxic environment comes in of work being your competition, it's like you see other workmates as opponents and enemies. So, you know, I'm trying to unwind everything and get everyone to calm down, slow down, and just be, you know, holistically a much better society, you know.
What age were you when you sort of came to this realization that maybe things are a little bit out of balance and needed to address it?
So I hit 30. I hit 30. I had three beautiful daughters. My own small subdivision company. You know, had a couple of $1 million worth of property. I swanned around drinking coffee down on the Murray River, looking at property investments. You can really get your head up in the clouds or up your ass, whichever you'd like to say, and about thinking that you could turn mud to gold. And in the space of 4 years, I lost my stepfather, who was my only father figure, stepfather, grandfather relationship, and then dropped about $400,000 into a business. My business flopped for the last end of it. So I had a massive breakdown with mental health, anxiety and depression, but because of that trained fight mode in me, I never missed a day of work. I just became harder to work with and harder to live with, you know. I just grounded out for 8 years thinking that there was something wrong with me until I finally spoke to my mum a bit about 5 years in. She sort of told me that there's a family history of mental health and that maybe an uncle committed suicide with alcohol. One uncle had given up alcohol. One uncle was an alcoholic. Three aunties were on antidepressants. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? How did I not know this at 40 years old? You know, why is this not discussed? Have you ever thought about getting all the Lowe family together and taking them to one doctor and blood testers and go, oh, the common element is, you know, chromosome Z. You know, like, you know, we can solve some stuff. So,
they have, like, I dabble a little bit in astrology over the years, and I have, like, got a similar family history where I had, like, a we had mental illness in our family, and we had also had, like, a history of kind of, like, failed entrepreneurs. And it sounds to me like your story is like you've broken the chain. You've broken this generational chain by the history of your family going over and over, and you're the one that said, stop, enough is enough, and you, that's in the past now.
That's my goal. I don't care. My saying to everybody is, when we have a problem, is I don't care necessarily how we got here. I just want to make sure we're not there in 6 months, 6 years' time.
Yeah.
I have four daughters who are very likely with the rate of, you know, I've had four kids. Their mother has had five kids. My mum was one of seven. My stepdad was one of 17. There's a potential with my four daughters for them to turn into at least 12.
Yeah.
And if I was to send my problem into 12 people and 12 into 12, it's not going to take, you know, when you think about how many generations we are away from World War II and how many mental health problems haven't been spoken about, it's not hard to believe that we're having all these mental health issues at the moment when we're two generations away from something that was perceived as a threat that we haven't dealt with. So there's no threat anymore, but we still have that feeling of it, and it's probably mostly from the home. So my first goal was to clean my own backyard up.
Yeah.
Video that through my videos, and if one person draws parallels out of it, you know, that's great. I've helped a lot of people, but my main goal is on the mining side is to also, you know, I was successful with a team that I had. I had 100 people under me at the last mine that I worked at. We had over 500,000 hours safe. We were 4 million under budget 2 years in a row, 6 weeks in front of schedule. And we had the best sort of disciplined team for training. And it was hard. And you know, I'm always the tip of the spear that gets worn down by having to hold people accountable for the standards. But if the goal is that they go home to their family safe, then it's worth it. And the mining industry particularly needs to, you know, get away from these pre-populated safety tools. It needs to come back to the people like myself who come from the floor and understand what's the real story. You know, not these corporate. I've got 17 certificates and things, you know, behind it, and just start sort of getting back to some real fundamental, just face-to-face values. That's sort of where I am.
But also it sounds like, you know, working under that team environment is just like, it's a culture of winning, really, isn't it? Like you're saying about your sporting prowess and love of the competition. It's like, I mean, that would be incredible to be part of that team with all the things that you've achieved, right? So you just have must have a huge amount of satisfaction.
Yeah, I did, but the management team over there nearly broke me. If I'm honest, like I left there a mess. You know, like I was by the time two and a half years ago, I couldn't stop my hands shaking from stress. Yeah. You know, when I was really and I blamed, you know, them for them bullying me and pushing on me and not following their own legislation and not following their own rules and that sort of stuff. But what I had to do was I had to realize that they are what they are and that is their problem. And my wife always says to me, someone's reaction to you is their problem. How you react to people is yours. And so I realized that. I talk a lot on my blog and my videos that I do about the voice in your head. And most of that talk is always about that voice of self-doubt that sits on your shoulder and whispers in your ear the sweet nothings. It stops you from doing everything, and it's usually not your voice. And once you identify who that voice is, whether they're still with you or not, you know, you can really start to grow in yourself and have faith in yourself that self-doubt isn't going to, you know, keep making you feel sick and anxious and worrying. So I started focusing on me and I stopped worrying about them. I left that mind. Been gone for a year now, and you know, just sort of trying to take large breaths. I've had the pleasure of working with some fantastic people. We've had some really good initiatives started from ground up. We have I started a program at the BMA Mines in Moranbah, so they now have funding for four free barber shops in their camps on a Monday and Tuesday. We fly barbers down from the Gold Coast to give free haircuts for men's mental health. And because a young fella said to me one day, well, listen, every time someone sits in my barber chair, a bloke's just tell you a whole life story. That seems to be a better place for them than, than a couch. So we called it the barber share. It's not just hair, we care. And so we got funding off BMA for a full year with that round the clock.
And
so,
is that just for that particular one site, or have you got other mines that are able to drop in?
There's four mines, four camps. So it's four camps, and that services four or five or six mines, and a range of, you know, everybody from a cleaner to a miner driver or a dragline operator can access that. So.
How awesome is that? That must be a bit of buzz around the workplace.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It really is. You know, like to see the people there and to hear the feedback from it and the smiles and the happiness that come from just being able to live a little bit of a normality with your life while you're away from your family from 7 days a week. Mm. And just starting the conversation, so many people don't understand what the anxiety even is. And because anxiety, in my experience, can manifest itself in so many different ways, one day it can be a headache, one day it can be one day it can be short of breath, one day it can be a shoulder pain, one day it can be just irritability, you know what I mean? So people just don't understand what's going on. So, I try and talk about it as often as I can. I had a young fella come to me one day. He was about 22-year-old. He just recently lost his cousin, and he came to me and he said, Jody, I've listened to you for 6 months talk about this stuff, and I like you. I like what you're trying to do, and I know that most people just completely and utterly disregard you for what you consistently talk about. You know, it's like, oh, here he goes again. And he said, but I've always listened to you because I wanted to show respect to you. He said, but I never understood why you kept going with so little people. And he said, but today I thought you were talking directly to me because I needed it, and I didn't think there was anyone else in the room. He said, so now I understand why you do it every day. And I said, that's why I do it every day, because there's always one person that needs it. And he said, well, what do you want from me? And I said, well, so far in the last 3 months, I've had five people that have come to me and said it's dramatically helped me talking about it. So I asked you to pay it forward with five people.
Yeah.
I said, that's
awesome.
So just go and find five. So we just started talking recently with the unions about the type five, that having those five people in your life that you consider people that you can't do without, outside of your family, your friends. Because I said the problem with social media is all of your friends, if you just like a post or, you know, send them a little message or something like that, that's checked in, no worries. And we've got so many friends these days that we really aren't spending the quality time we need with our tight five. So that tight five is the people that you should be able to drop everything for, give them your last dollar, the shirt on your back, your last mouthful of food, or take on their kids should an accident happen. They're the five people that you are. You might have the same five people that they have and the same five people, but as long as you feel that way about them, you're always going to look after them. And because you're so close to them, you're going to notice the difference if something changes.
Yeah.
And you're going to have the time to spend a day with them if something changes.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, I'm so sorry, I'm so busy because I really need money before I need friends that I can't give you my Saturday.
Yeah,
and that's why I was trying to lever out of it. We used to play sport every Saturday. We'd play sport all day long, and now I can't get people to waste 5 hours of a game of golf. Too busy. So I invented it. I invented an excuse, something to get rid of the excuse. Cool, Brendan. This afternoon, would you like to play golf? No, I'm too busy. Brendan, would you like to come and have a putting competition with me? It's called the putt, the roll and hole, and there's the putting competition. The chip and dip is the 100-meter chipping competition. All of these silly names. The three-point shootout was called the gaze zone, but they said that I was pushing it too far. But I'm like, it's Andrew freaking gaze. You was like the greatest, greatest Australian thing. BMA were like, you're pushing it too far. And I'm like, fair enough.
So how does the app work? Is it free to download or what?
Yeah, it's free and it's difficult because, as you can tell with this conversation, my mind is reasonably complex and I have a lot going on simultaneously. It's probably too complex. It's one of the ladies that was involved with helping me with it said that there's nobody has ever been able to take a digital app and turn it into actually a physical thing. So basically you download the app. So let's say your group and your circle, a couple of friends, let's just say you're type five friends, you all download the app, you start Tarazi's champions,
you
make a community, make your own community, name it whatever you want, invite your five friends into that community.
Yeah.
Then you go into the five categories. So there's kick it, rip it, aim it, shoot it. I can't even remember. It's been a while since I've spoke that part. But basically, you go in there. You're supposed to pick two games out of each category to get your final 10. You play the games. Could be there's a three, anything from, you know, a 3K walk to the netball shootout to a tennis backhand. Get your scores rolling. You can click against each other. You can see how you're going against each other. And once you get your 10 scores, it becomes your average AF score on your home page. The problem is with it, most people just don't have the delayed gratification for anything. So what I'm finding is 5 or 6 games in, they're like, oh, you know, I really want that sugar rush. You know, let me get back to Candy Crush with every time I, you know, complete a screen, it goes, you know, sort of
whistle, you
know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look,
That's cool. All right. Well, look, we're at the end of the interview now, Jody. If people want to, how's the best way to download the app, or would they go to the website first? It sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's what I used to fund it myself on a monthly basis. But when I was funding the prizes, it was driving enough people to sort of keep it moving and growing. But then, yeah, as soon as I sort of stopped, when I was forced to leave BMA because I wouldn't get the jab, so I had to move on. All my work sort of fell in a heap, and that's why I've just started getting it going again now that I've found a mind that's not worried about it. But as soon as I stopped paying that, putting those funds up, the numbers just died off and just stopped, and I didn't have any time for it. So I'm sort of looking for corporate belief. It's a free app. The website's there. I tried to differentiate between the app and the website, because as soon as people, you know, hear well-being or mental health, it's something they think I'm trying to get inside their head. I want people that don't think they need to use it, to just use it for fun. Mm. And that inadvertently helps them with this over here.
Yeah.
If they're having trouble, they can go to the website. So averageaf.com is a website. That's got the links for all of it there. It's got the journey, the story. It's got my blogs. It's also got links to the Facebook page, the YouTube videos, and anywhere that you'd like to follow me. You get some weird videos on TikTok too. So
All right, Jody, that sounds amazing, the work that you've put into this up until now. And thanks very much for coming on the show today.
No, I appreciate your time, mate. It was great. Thank you.
You've been listening to an OHS.com.au production.
I hope you've been enjoying listening to the podcast. If you are, it'd be great if you could help us out by leaving us a review and sharing this with friends and colleagues.